Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
The Tuesday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack, and apparently it looks like I am going to start out on my own here for a little bit. If you'd like to call into the podcast and talk to me, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to go ahead and shoot me an email, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need? Head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, the blogs go up over there on Wednesdays and Saturdays, but I will warn you, tomorrow's blog is going to go up a little bit later. I have a 9 o'clock appointment, so it'll be a little longer until I can get back home and get the blog posted, but it will definitely pop up there sometime tomorrow. So if you're looking for it, just stick with it, and it'll show up there, I promise you that. Now, of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, you can click that link, and that'll take you over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could give that a like while you're over there, well, hey, I'd greatly appreciate that. But don't forget, we also have the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, you can find me on Twitter as well. I am at BurkTime, and that is BurkTime, if you want to look me up on Twitter. So, all right, let's jump into what's going on in Major League Baseball right now, because we have a full schedule tonight. So we have the Chicago Cubs visiting the Cleveland Indians. The Cubs are going to start Adbert Azele. I think that's better how I pronounced it than I have been lately. The Indians are countering with last year's Cy Young Award winner, and I'm really surprised he wasn't the MVP as well. That would be Shane Bieber. So we also have the Cincinnati Reds at the Pittsburgh Pirates. The Reds have Jeff Hoffman going in that game, while the Pirates will start JT Brubaker. On the Mickey Mouse Network, you can see the New York Yankees at the Tampa Bay Rays. It's Jordan Montgomery for the Yankees and Luis Patino for the Rays. We've got the Philadelphia Phillies at the Washington Nationals. Chase Anderson gets the start for the Phillies, while Eric Fetty will make the start for the Nationals. The Baltimore Orioles are at the New York Mets. We got John Means for the Orioles making his first start since the no-hitter last week, while Marcus Stroman takes the mound for the Mets. If you have the Mickey Mouse Network Plus app, you can watch the Kansas City Royals at the Detroit Tigers. The Royals send Brady Singer to the mound, while the Tigers counter with Matthew Boyd. We have the Oakland A's at the Boston Red Sox. The A's are starting Chris Bassitt, while the Red Sox are going with Nathan Eovaldi. The Toronto Blue Jays are at the Atlanta Braves. Robbie Ray makes the start for the Blue Jays, while Bryce Wilson is the Braves' listed starting pitcher for the day. We have the St. Louis Cardinals at the Milwaukee Brewers. I don't know where I was going with that one. We got Wang Hugh Kim making the start for the Cardinals, and Freddie Peralta is the Brewers' starter. The Los Angeles Angels are at the Houston Astros. Shohei Ohtani makes the start for the Angels, so I know nothing else matters to anybody now because Ohtani is starting, but Lance McCullers will oppose him on the mound for the Astros. The Minnesota Twins are here in Chicago to take on the White Sox. It's Kenta Maeda for the Twins. And Dylan Cease for the White Sox. The San Diego Padres are at the Colorado Rockies. Denelson Lament is going to make the start for San Diego, while Antonio Senzatella is the Rockies' starting pitcher. The Miami Marlins are out west to take on the Arizona Diamondbacks. The Marlins are going to start Pablo Lopez, while the Diamondbacks counter with Madison Bumgarner. And then finally, we have the Seattle Mariners at the Los Angeles Dodgers. UC Kikuchi makes the start for the Mariners, while Walker Buehler is the starting pitcher for the Dodgers tonight. So that's what's coming up. Now, we do have one game that is live. The Giants, the San Francisco Giants, are hosting the Texas Rangers. The Giants are currently leading 2-1 in the bottom of the sixth inning. Jordan Lyles made the start for the Rangers. He lasted five innings, gave up two hits, two runs. They were both earned. He did walk five and strike out six. So, and then Logan Webb was the Giants starter today. He's, as far as I know, he's still in the game. He went six innings, gave up two hits and one run, but that run was unearned. He's walked two, but he struck out 10. So he's racking up the strikeouts. Now, there are only four hits in this game. Isaiah Kiner-Falefel and David Dahl have one apiece for the Rangers. And then Mike Yastrzemski and Brandon Belt have one apiece for the Giants. Yastrzemski's hit was a double. Both Belt and Yastrzemski have the Giants' RBIs. Well, Joey Gallo picked up the RBI for the Rangers. So we'll see how this game plays out, and hopefully as things go along, I will remember to continue to update you on what's going on. But, you know, I get sidetracked and forget these things. So we shall see how that goes. But there you go. You're all caught up with what's going on and what will be going on in the majors tonight. So, and then some more interesting news, and I'll bring Dan the Man in here. Dan, I don't know if you came across this one, but Major League Baseball has given the Oakland A's permission to explore the possibility of relocating. Now, you know, the A's have had stadium plans in the works for, I don't know how long, and for whatever reason, the city just kind of keeps putting it off. So do you see the A's possibly moving? You know, we know MLB team in Montreal, could they be the Montreal Athletics?
Oh, definitely not. So, you know, it's not like the NFL where you could take a team that's in New York and put them in a division with Texas. It would completely off-balance the league, but it just, when I read or got the notification from the mothership this morning, I just laughed because I forget somebody I follow, you know, somewhere, however that goes, I'm in a group on Facebook. They were mentioning about the A's. This was like a couple months ago, about the A's going to Oakland or to Vegas also. And that actually my sister-in-law just came back from there and last, right before Mother's Day, and my brother-in-law used to live out there, and they were talking about some huge baseball stadium that they built or they're building. So I don't know. I mean, for me, explore the opportunity. I just really think they're going to Vegas. I think Vegas can draw. You know, they've done well with their hockey team. Obviously, they got the Raiders. And I don't know, you don't want to offset the AL East. And what better way?
What?
The AL West. So you don't want to offset that, so you got to keep it in the West, right? It's not like they're going to bring a team to Mexico yet.
Well, you know, the A's do move. They're the last remaining major professional franchise in Oakland. You know, the Warriors moved across the bay to San Francisco, and you mentioned the Raiders going to Vegas. So you would think Oakland at this point would do anything good to help the A's get this stadium, but for whatever reason, it's just been continually delayed, you know, time after time. And you do wonder why cities kind of do the teams, because we're talking about a major contributor you know, to business in the area around the ballpark. You know, we know places like Wrigley Field and Fenway Park really help out those neighborhoods. You know, if you could get the A's set up just close to an area like that, it would be a boom for those businesses. So I don't know why they work with the team to keep it.
Well, let me ask you this. What kind of reputation does Billy Beane and the Athletic A's owner have in common? Have put out there? What is the reputation when it comes to spending money?
You know, I mean, obviously that's where Moneyball is. And, you know, they don't like to spend money, but it has to do with don't draw that well.
Yeah, well, not only that, well, you know, you kind of look at that, well, you don't want to invest the money and you blame it on not being able to draw well. But you don't want to invest the money in what are you doing to get people in the stands? You know, aside from the COVID issue, but prior to that, I mean, when was the only time they sold out? Oh, I think it was probably that A's versus White Sox game with the 50-year anniversary or whatever anniversary, and they gave every ticket away.
Yep. Well, I mean, what I would ask you is what more do you want Oakland to do? They're winning. They're a playoff. They're a contender.
Yeah.
You know, what more can they do? And the ballpark is falling apart around them. Remember, I think it was 2 weeks ago, they actually had to reschedule games because they had a plumbing issue. You know, because the ballpark is 55 years old. So imagine they're on that thing. So, you know, no matter how much you upgrade, eventually, you know, it needs to be replaced.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm not trying to be ultra super negative, but if you kind of follow up, fights continue, maybe go on a different route. The city, the people, everyone doesn't want to take the cost of, you know, helping to relocate or getting rid of the stadium and all that. So what's the next best thing? Let that team leave. And then I kind of feel like with the way Oakland is, baseball will be back there in the next 10 years.
You know, I mean, you would think, but I, you know, without a new stadium, nobody's going back there.
Yeah. Well, and that's what I mean. You get a new owner, a new group altogether, then they're putting together their own stadium. They're doing all the work instead of relying on the city and the county and, you know, even sometimes down to the state to help pay for everything. So it's an option. It'd just be interesting if they do move, if they keep the A's name. I mean, I guess they've had it since Philadelphia, but... And, I mean, let's be honest, the Raiders just fits Las Vegas.
Yeah, no, you know, and the Raiders, I mean, you know, it's not like the Raiders hadn't moved before. You know, they went to Los Angeles and they came back. So, you know, it honestly wouldn't surprise me if they can't get what they want out of Vegas that they would come back to Oakland again just because that's how the Davis family seems to be. You know, he'll use whatever leverage he thinks he has to try to get what he wants. And, you know, obviously it's smart business, but it can alienate your fans because, you know, you end up with this nomad franchise that bounces around. And luckily for the Raiders, they've got some pretty faithful fans, and it doesn't seem to have hurt them. I mean, there were people when they moved to Vegas that wanted to keep their season tickets and just go there, you know, 8 Sundays a year to see the Raiders play.
Not a bad deal.
Well, you know, but you know, we'll see how it works out and how it ends up shaking out, but while we're rolling on to baseball here, Dan, the Padres put 3 guys on the IL today due to health and safety protocols. It was Jorge Mateo, Jerkson Profar, and Fernando Tatis Jr. again. will be missing games. This time not due to injury, just due to, you know, health and safety protocol. You know, Dan, obviously he's one of the hot young players in the game and everybody loves him. And remember last year they gave him the MVP after we had played about 2 weeks of the season, which they love to do. Doesn't he need to find a way to stay on the field? I mean, okay, I get this could have been unavoidable, but he needs to be on the field, right?
Oh, yeah, he needs to be on the field and at the plate. But what can you do? He can't change what happened.
No, even again, there's not much that has come up, so we don't know if this was something he could have avoided or even what it is. They haven't mentioned if he has a positive COVID test or, you know, anything like that. So we'll see how that plays out or where it goes. But, you know, just like, man, you want to see this guy on the damn field more than he's been this year. So.
Yeah, I need more home runs.
Yeah. So, you know, then while we're on the good old COVID news here, the Yankees had 5 positive COVID tests, Dan. Oddly, they were all coaches. So that's a little strange. No players involved. And it doesn't look like Aaron Boone was one of the coaches who tested positive, but interestingly, Phil Nevin was. He's the Yankees' third base coach, and the interesting thing about Nevin's positive test is he's fully vaccinated and yet still tested positive. So that's a kind of an interesting phenomenon, and I get that the injections aren't 100% effective, but you would like to hope once you have them that you wouldn't get it, but sadly Phil Nevin picked it up. You know, how much effect do you think this has on a team missing their regular coaches like this?
I mean, they could FaceTime before and after the game, right?
I can't see why either, but,
you know, they've got other guys. I don't think it's that big of a difference.
Yeah, no, I was just kind of wondering, because obviously, you know, the Yankees have been playing better, you know, they went from under 500 and being buried by the media to, oh, my God, you know, what's wrong with the Yankees, to now, you know, they're 2 games over 500 and slowly but surely closing in on the Red Sox. You know, you just kind of wonder, you know, they've picked up a couple wins in a row. They're 7-3 over their last 10. So you just wonder if this has any – you know, any lingering mental effect or anything like that, or you think they're just kind of stick with routine and roll along?
You just have to stick with the routine and roll along.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I was wondering how you thought that might kind of play out for them. You know, we mentioned it a little yesterday where, you know, Albert Pujols is just days away now from becoming a free agent, you know, and he will be able to sign with any team he wants to. Do you have a fit in mind? I know we talked about a couple places yesterday, but do you have an idea where you see him ending up?
With the Yankees?
No, that's a good choice. Now, there was an article here about the 5 best opportunities. Oddly, the Yankees didn't make the list, and I was kind of surprised. But and this would be one of those things I would really like explained to me, because I understand the sentimental value behind this. But the number one landing spot this guy has, let me get the writer's name here because I always forget to look at that. This is a Will Leach article, so obviously he must have sentimental value towards St. Louis. Because he's got the Cardinals as Pujols' number one landing spot. You know, Dan, maybe he forgot there's no designated hitter in the National League this year. And they do have a guy by the name of Paul Goldschmidt who plays first base. So why is this guy's number one landing spot for him, Dan? I really need this explained to me.
Completely sentimental value. I mean, I can see that that's his number one landing spot after his contract with the Angels is up so that he can sign for a day and get a jersey and retire that day.
You know, that's exactly what I thought. If Pujols wanted to retire, he would sign with the Cardinals for one day and then announce his retirement. But to go there now, I mean, that just seems kind of ridiculous, doesn't it? I mean, this guy puts the Cardinals on the list but leaves the Yankees off. So, okay, great. That's brilliant. So, and now here's a team we didn't talk about yesterday, Dan. What do you think about a fit with the Kansas City Royals?
They did not come to mind at all, to be honest with you. What do they have going on there at first base?
They brought in Carlos Santana in the off season, but obviously, you know, American League team, there's the DH spot. And this is right up the Royals' alley financially because they're only going to have to pay him the league minimum.
Yeah, I mean, that's always an option. I don't know why, but I keep coming back to Oakland or Texas. I kind of feel like one of those two teams within the division would want to pick him up for some reason.
So, yeah, and then the third choice here, Dan, and we discussed this yesterday, the Chicago White Sox. Apparently, this writer is under the impression that Tony La Russa's influence with ownership will allow them to sign Pujols. Again, you know, that's great, and obviously his leadership would be fantastic, but you've got an MVP first baseman and a rookie DH who is just killing it. Apparently, the complaint this guy has about Yermin Mercedes is he never walks. Dan, with the way he's hitting the ball, is it really that important that he's not taking his walks?
No, not at the moment.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking too. So
I mean, that's
So then we've got another kind of stupid one here because it's the National League team, but I guess maybe he was looking for a mix. He thinks the Washington Nationals would be a good spot for Pujols. Now, you know, the Nationals not only brought back Ryan Zimmerman, but they traded for Josh Bell. So they don't have one first baseman. They have two. Again, I don't remember seeing the designated hitter spot in the National League. Maybe that's something they'll add at the All-Star break or something like that. Dan, I turn to you and get you to explain to me why in the hell this would be a good signing.
Because Kyle Schwarber plays there now. I don't know. Yeah, that one, you know, it just doesn't make sense. Having him go to a National League team, and you know,
yeah,
well,
barring anything. The last one, and this is the one that made the most sense to me yesterday, would be the Indians. Brought up the same points yesterday. He could spell Framil Reyes at DH when he needs a day off, and then he could platoon it with Jake Bowers. Now he does throw in the Yankees here, but he catchphrases it by saying if Luke Voit struggles. He adds the Red Sox in if Bobby Dalbec can't make it work. And then he throws the Diamondbacks in because Christian Walker is off to a terrible start. You know, I mean, you could throw the Colorado Rockies now because CJ Cron just went on the IL, and that, if that injury is long term, you know, they could put Buchholz in as a, you know, as their everyday baseman, and then if he does play well, you know, they could deal him off to an American League team who's looking for a veteran for the stretch run and pick up, you know, obviously a lower tier prospect. You're not going to get much for him. So you know, there are some possibilities, but, you know, I mean, I don't, you know, three of his five don't make a lot of sense. So I, you know, I kind of like your idea better of the A's or the Rangers than I do of the majority of his choices.
Well, I don't know
what the hell this guy was thinking. I don't think he did any threw teams out there he liked.
Yeah. Now, in your opinion, where, you know, who would you nominate as your top five?
You know, and again, this is obviously barring any type of injury. I really think the Indians are the best landing spot for him right now. You know, I believe they offer the most playing time. So, you know, I also like the Tampa Bay Rays. You know, they just designated Yoshi Susugu for assignment. He was playing some first base for them. And, again, I know it's not the normal thing that they would do. But again, you're talking about a guy you're going to have to pay the league minimum, you know, and he's got the veteran experience that you would love even as a part-time player. So I really like them that, you know, I like the idea of Oakland. I think that's a good spot for him. You know, he definitely would probably fit in well there. And again, not looking at a team that's going to, you know, it's exactly what they do, sign a guy for the minimum.
Yeah.
So bring him in, take a look. I think Colorado is a possibility, and I'll base that depending on if Cron is injured. You know, and I know obviously he's injured now because he's on the IL, but I don't know how long it is. So that could be a really good landing spot. And then, like, I wouldn't have a problem if the Royals brought him in. You know, I think that would probably be the fifth team I would throw on the list for the reasons we talked about. And then, you know, obviously if somebody goes down, and, you know, the Yankees wouldn't be far behind on my list because Voit does return from injury tonight, but if there's a problem there or an issue there, who better than Albert Pujols to come in, step in, and fill in? Yeah, you know, and the Yankees have had good luck with these guys, so that wouldn't surprise me either.
Yeah, I just, you know, for me, I don't know why I immediately thought of Oakland and Texas because, well, definitely like you said, Oakland, that's kind of their MO, that's what they do. And then, you know, if I were to go second, I'd just say the Yankees only because the way things go in the Bronx, someone's always injured. So I think they, you know, just picking him up would have him. And then, unfortunately, I think that would put Clint back into the minor leagues. But, and then going straight back to Texas. And then, you know, I didn't really have a whole lot of other teams in mind, but I can jump on board, you know, kind of flip-flop them either way with Tampa and Kansas City. Be interesting.
Yeah. You know, and I know Texas has really good luck. You know, they made the deal for Brandon Lowe this offseason. And, you know, he's played really well. But, you know, he's also versatile enough to play, I believe, maybe third or the outfield if they would want to move him around. And, again, you know, American League team allows you the opportunity of the designated hitter. You know, Chris Davis played the outfield last night for the Rangers and made a really dynamic catch. Unfortunately, he just doesn't have the throwing arm. So I'm trying to remember who the Rangers have been using as their regular designated hitter, but I'm actually drawing a blank because I think Joey Gallo is too good of a defender to have him in that designated hitter role, you know, every night. Let me pull up here and see what have kind of set up for their lineup. Like this one lists Willie Calhoun, but obviously, you know, he's a better everyday outfielder than he would be designated hitter. And I know the, you know, the Rangers are pretty outfield heavy, so maybe that would be the only deterrent to them bringing him in. But, you know, again, at this point, they don't have a lot to lose. You know, they're not expected to contend. They haven't played that well. So we'll have to see. You know, who knows? But, yeah, hopefully, you know, we'll find out soon. I don't think it's going to take very long for, you know, Pujols to sign, and I'm willing to bet that there's probably already been feelers put out, you know, to kind of see, hey, you know, who's interested and what's, you know, what's going on there. So, you know, we'll have to, you know, just have to
wait. Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't be going to Tech or to the Angels asking. I would just definitely wait the remaining days to sign him without trading for all that money.
Yeah, no, there's no reason point to you know, look at the possibility of making a trade unless they're going to be willing to pick up pretty much all of that money. So, you know, but I am interested in here, Dan. You know, I mentioned that the Rays, I almost said Devil Rays, good Lord, you know, they designated Setsuko for assignment, and I'm just kind of wondering what may have happened to this guy here, Dan. You know, he came over, he's in the second year of a two-year $12 million deal. He hit 197 last year. He was struggling, only hitting 167 this year. But, you know, in Japan, he was a big-time power hitter. I mean, he's got a couple 40 home run seasons under his belt and another one where he's at 38. You know, and his average was always right around 300 or just below. He's only 29. What do you think the swap was here that this just didn't work?
I don't know. You know, like you said, Tampa's always very interesting, and they do things, and they always seem to work out, even though you might not think they would. But, you know, maybe just they're not liking what they're seeing right now.
You know, and it's just, you know, kind of odd, and I get that. You know, unfortunately, I think we're getting to the point where we've had more failures than we have had successes with players coming over from Japan. And, you've just got to wonder if, you know, can you even see another major league team taking a look at this guy, or is he just kind of destined to return home and pick his career back up in Japan next year?
No, I think he's probably going to hang out in the States for at least this season. But you never know. That could be a part of it, too, you know, mentally for him, you know, not being at home.
So, yeah, and then, you know, the corresponding move was the Rays called up Kevin Padlow, who is a third baseman. He has appeared in three games for them so far. He's hitless in six at-bats. But obviously he's going to get quite a bit more opportunity here with Setsuko being designated now. You know, Padlo's only 24, and this was his first year at AAA. He did pop up there in 2019 for just a short stint, about 40 games, but this was going to be his first season. So if you're in a deep fantasy league, maybe he's a guy you want to go look at and add onto your bench somewhere down the line. Because I'm sure Setsuko was drafted in a lot of leagues. I believe he was picked up in both of ours. So we'll have to, have to see what happens there. But yeah, you know, you always need those under the radar kind of guys. So, the big news, and I believe we're still waiting for this to officially happen. Been reported that the Mariners will be calling up Jared Kelnick. He was the big time prospect that really should have made the team out of spring training. But as we know, due to the arbitration rule, he was sent down to AAA where he appeared in 5 games and actually hit a couple homers in .409 over that 5-game stint there, Dano. Clear that he's ready to be in the major leagues. We're just waiting for this to, that little time period to disappear so he can come up. He was a big piece in the Edwin Diaz-Robinson Cano deal. He was the big prospect the Mariners got back. Have you searched for this guy? I believe he was drafted in our Snake League. But have you searched for him to see if you can add him to your bench yet? Or are you
kind
of cool with you're going to ride out the storm?
I just assumed that you would have already done so. I didn't. And then my roster's not where I want it, but I still think I have value in the guys that I have that I can hopefully arrange a trade.
Yeah, I know for sure he was picked in one of our leagues. I don't know if he was picked in both of them. But I do know he went in one league, so I'll have to see if I can double check here. But again, another guy. If you're in a deep league and this guy somehow slips through, maybe sneak him onto your roster. But yeah, I don't know how available he's going to be, because obviously there was a lot of discussion when he didn't come up to start the year. So, I can tell you in one of our leagues, Dan, our elk buddy has him. He's on the Elk Eradicators in the Touch 'em All League. And then let me check our other league here rather quickly, but I have a feeling that he is gone in that one too. So, if not, I wouldn't be surprised if he was already picked up today, because I believe they announced this move last night. So, and let's see who owns him here. Yeah, he is actually owned in both our leagues. So you don't have to worry about going and looking for him. He's gone. So you're saved there.
Usually,
Elk has those guys. I ended up with a couple of guys sent down, but I didn't land Kelnick. He must have been gone before I started looking that way.
Yeah, no, I just meant that usually when I find out about a guy who might be slightly under the radar or whatever, I go looking for him, and it's the Elk who has him.
Like in our league, as big as it is, it's difficult to kind of land those under the radar guys and stuff like that. So, it can be really tough.
Yeah, I mean, that was, I think, like we discussed before, one of the biggest advantages I had, and I think that's why I won the basketball league that first year we did it, or maybe that didn't coincide, but when I worked second shift, because I was up late, when you work till, what was I working, 11, 12, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, whatever it was, when I got home, I wasn't going to bed, not much on TV, so checking fantasy, getting all my updates while you guys are all sleeping.
Well, some of us were at work.
Well, yeah. but you know what I mean.
Yeah, no, you know, and that is, you know, that can, if you use that, that can be a very big advantage. This is how long ago this was, before we actually started doing the podcast, we had a guy quit one of our football leagues because of his job, and he couldn't get to the pickups fast enough.
So he just get mad and quit?
He quit the league because he couldn't, you know, guys were beating him to pickups, and he would go in, and he couldn't get guys.
Yeah, I mean, belly of the beast.
I mean, unfortunate, it's part of the way things go. So,
you know, in the past, I know we've only had a couple, but I'd love for anyone out there listening to hear their horror stories. But the guys who get so angry because they're not doing well that they just kind of, you know, troll other people, trash people, just try to start arguments and whatever. You know, I think we do pretty well of recognizing who those people are, and they just, you know, they don't come back the next year. So take it however you want to take it. But did that happen to you a lot when you were first starting? Because I know when you first start a league where you don't have the 20 people like we like to have, you're relying on other people to join, you know, just through Yahoo. Did you have a lot of that to begin with, where people were just getting so angry and, you know, taking shots? You remember taking shots at you and I just because their drafting theory was to go with all rookies, and it totally bombed on him, so he wasn't doing well. So it was our fault. Did you have that a lot? And have you seen that in the other leagues that you're in?
Yeah, you know, unfortunately, it does pop up quite a bit in, you know, different leagues and, you know, stuff like that. I've had to, had to kind of deal with it. But, fortunately, it hasn't been terrible. What happened early on is, like, we had smaller league. You know, it wasn't 20 teams to start, and it was all our friends. There was a lot of, you know, what you would call ribbing going on between friends, and guys would actually get really upset about it and quit the league. And it was just kind of like you realize he was just joking with you. You know, it wasn't anything serious. He was just having some fun because he beat you. They just quit and stopped changing their lineup. You're like, wait, really? You know? But, yeah, so, yeah, you know, you do a lot of weird things like that every now and then.
Yeah, and, you know, we had the guy who, from the start of the home run league I designed or put together, just trashing it in the draft and then, you know, talking all the crap, and he's going to, you know, he still wants to win, and, you know, he's going to beat everyone even though the league sucks. And then, you know, he's at the bottom. And then just continually running his mouth, but, you know, at the same token, it's like, you've got an entire season, buddy.
Yeah, it's odd. You know, I think as we expanded the league, what kind of happened is we ran into those guys who considered themselves, you know, professional fantasy players, but they had never been in 20-team leagues. So, you know, they got in these leagues thinking, oh, yeah, okay, no problem. I'll be able to walk over these, you know, these hill rods or whatever that are new to it. And then they got to the point where, well, I've got to be able to select bench players, and there are no superstars left. So what do I do? You you know, and then it's kind of like, oh, okay, well, you know, this isn't my fault. This league sucks.
You know, I guess we never even thought about that portion of it, because there's been times where, you know, we've gotten the new guys in the league, and, you know, I do the quick manager comparison, and I'm like, oh, man, this guy's ranked so much better than me. He's been playing longer. And then I'm the one who edges out or kind of kicks ass, and I'm like, well, that shouldn't have happened. Isn't he supposed to be better than me? All his ranking's better. But I never even thought about the fact that, you know, someone who's been doing it may have only been in 8, you know, 10, 12, 14 team leagues.
Yeah. Well, and remember, you had, you know, a couple people in your family who actually did well in our leagues, but left them because they were too big.
Yeah. Well, and don't even sugarcoat it, Big Jack. They both were in the championship. The two guys.
Oh, that
one wins. Yeah. You know, one wins. The other one, runner up. And not to mention, the one who won drafted like three or four rounds while he was at a hosting a party, and he had his son, you know, barely high school son, finish the draft for him. granted, it's all luck of the draw because of injuries and such, but, you know, it just killed me. I'm like, you won.
So, yeah, you know, that's just odd. And then you get the opposite guys. I mean, you can use, like, Mr. Fantasy for an example, who's a, you know, he's a big-time hardcore fantasy guy. You know, I mean, he's a FanDuel guy. We do the Money League together, and for whatever reason, maybe because our league was, he just lost complete interest in playing and completely stopped changing his lineups on us. So, you know, and I mean, he's expressed zero interest in coming back, but yet he's excited about us doing the Money League every year. So I don't know what the difference is or the interest is or whatever, you know, the deal is. So.
Do you think it also has to do with the fact that it's once a week? You know, I mean, granted, baseball's every day and your league's every day, but your the money leagues are both baseball and football. It's one time a week, you know, where you're updating your lineup.
You know, I never really thought of that, but come to think of it, that was one of the reasons those guys gave for not getting in our league when they were asked. The one guy, there were multiple guys who didn't want to get in because there was no money involved. You know, you got to remember, these guys are all big-time players. We're talking about guys who make six-plus figures a year. There's a couple of them that actually make seven figures a year. That's what kind of league this is. So these guys are big-time high rollers. They like to gamble and spend money. But, yeah, the one guy did mention that he just didn't think he'd have time to change his lineup every day. So yeah, that is possible. And, you know, I even explained to him, I said, you know, you can go out and change it ahead of time. Like, it doesn't have to be, one day at a time. But, yeah, they just, you know, didn't. That was part of the reason they didn't have any interest in it. So, yeah, you know, I guess sometimes easy is convenient for people.
Yeah, I mean, there's some times where I just completely space, but it just comes with the territory, right?
Well, you know, I actually spaced on the home run league this week. I did all my lineups yesterday and forgot to do that one, but luckily none of the guys I have in are hurt. So now I just need them to hit home runs because I'm really struggling with not hitting home runs. So that would be really nice.
Yeah, I just try to think about the fact that it's only me.
Yeah. And, you know, speaking of free, I was really disappointed that FanDuel already got the home run contest. It's like you said, it's only May. They got rid of the home run contest.
They must have been paying out too much money.
Yeah, maybe. But, yeah, I was just like, damn, it's already gone? But at least I cashed this year, and it went long before it went away. The one thing I can still say over you, you have to win money in the home run league, have you? Or did you win one last year?
No.
Did you win a small amount last year?
I may have. I don't remember. I'd have to go back and look. But, you know, it's been a while, and that one's probably the hardest one to win on. Oops.
Yeah, that's a tough one. I'm surprised that ended up being as tough as it was. Not that I thought I was going to win, you know, every day or something on it, but it's really difficult to find guys that are going to hit a home run.
Yeah, and, you know, and how some people pick the certain guys, you know, it's just, you know, the guy who never hits a home run hits 3 in one day, and, you know, 50 guys had him.
Yeah. That's a lot like any fantasy lineup put together. You have to find that under the radar guy that nobody's looking at, you know, because everybody's looking at the Mike Trouts and the Shohei Ohtanis and, you know, the other power hitters that are there in the game. You've got to find that, you know, kind of strange, kind of weird guy that goes off and maybe sneaks a bomb in. You know, maybe he's playing in Colorado, or maybe he's playing in Cincinnati, and, you know, or you get a little lefty, like in Dan's case, a guy like Corey Garcia, who hooks one down the line at Yankee Stadium and it goes out, or down the line at Fenway where, you know, the pesky pole is right there, you know, what, a couple hundred feet away. So, you know, those are the guys that kind of end up winning it. You know, when a guy runs a lineup out there that's, you know, Trout, Harper, and, say, Chris Bryant, they rarely win because, A, everybody's got them, and B, they don't all seem to homer on the same night.
No, never, except for the night you don't pick them together.
So, you know, after I won, obviously, went about a week without winning. And I think every guy I picked in that week homered the night after I picked them. And I'm like, really? You couldn't have homered a day earlier? Like, you know, like, what'd you wait for?
Well, and, you know, I was trying some of the old stuff, the old techniques I was using, and nothing was working. You know, I was thinking of trying the old I had to pick two new guys like Tatis and someone else, but when we did the Bryce Harper Mike Trout trial, where he only picked them two and one other guy for a month.
You know, and like even if I won this year, you know, I got really lucky. I took George Springer on a whim because he had been back a couple games, so I figured he was, you know, kind of in a groove. And I couldn't decide on my third guy, so I threw Mike Trout in. And I got lucky, and Springer hit two bombs, and Trout managed to hit one. And I don't remember who my other guy was, but he didn't hit anything. So it was just kind of like, oh, okay, I guess I picked Springer on the right night.
You got lucky.
Yeah. You know, and again, that's all it was. It was completely luck. It had nothing to do with me, you know, breaking down this algorithm and having this fantasy thing sitting there ready for me to, you know, to fill my lineup out. I just looked at it and said, oh, what the hell? I'll throw Trout in there as my third guy. You know, and boom, hey, all right, great. He hit a homer. And then I caught the highlights and I said, wait, Springer hit two? Like, okay, I got to check this out and see if I pick something up. And I signed in that morning when I got home, and I was like, holy crap, I actually won. Like, I got to tweet this to Dan. Yeah, I was like, great.
Hey, it's a good win, a good win. But, you know, the only disappointing thing for me is, to make a couple cents on the dollar, I used to play the 50-50s a lot. And sadly, nobody plays those anymore. So it's hard to get in one with 100 people. And then when I do get into them, it's a lot of the better people who are playing. So I'm getting landing in the 50s. So I'm not cashing. So,
and I run into that problem. I've been playing the nickel quarter league. And every once in a while I'll throw a dollar in a different league. And what I'm realizing is those nickel quarter leagues where it's unlimited lineup, there are guys that are just going on and entering the maximum amount of lineups. Now, I don't know if it's the same lineup, but, they're probably spending $5, $10, maybe even $20 just entering the same lineup over and over and over. But if it cashes, obviously it's worth it to you. Where, these dollar leagues, and I generally just jump in the single entry ones. I've been having a lot better luck winning, at least getting my money back, because it's only the one lineup, and if I can beat your one lineup, well then hey, great. But if you've got 20 lineups and it's all the same and it hits, well, you just took 20 spots out of whoever's getting money. So,
right.
So yeah, if you're ever confident in your money lineup, Dan, you should enter it 20 times in the nickel league, and if it cashes, you could win big. Oh, and I know you'll get a kick out of this one. I've been doing two lineups a day on FanDuel. I do one through Mr. Fantasy, paid for a RotoWire subscription, and they suggest a lineup every day. Of course, today they had Fernando Tatis Jr. in their lineup, which would be a bad play since he's on the IL. But I've been using their lineup against the lineup I'm coming up with on my own. And the lineup I'm coming up with is actually doing better than the lineup they're coming up with. So I think maybe they need to hire me and pay me a lot of money to come up with a healthy lineup every day, because I'm doing better than they are. So, but I'll have to look and send it to you if you want to sign in. Go over it and see if it helps you out.
Definitely. I would love to get involved in that.
We were using it hoping it would help us in our yearly league. But a lot of suggestions, if you can actually enter in your league stack to a certain amount, it doesn't work for our Yahoo because we have too many categories for a money league. But a lot of their suggestions were, with the exception of the obvious, a lot of their suggestions were guys that didn't make a lot of sense stat. And we had quite a few arguments over. Now, if you're looking at the podcast live, you're doing that, but if you miss out, tune in.